Around and around it goes, and where the world stops, nobody knows. Oh, I'm going to live in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, apparently. It's a bad go. All right, the world in all its splendor and glory. Quite astonishing, don't you think? You know, the real world is actually a lot bigger than this, and it's more astonishing than this. Whatever. Look at this globe. Now, imagine it actual size. All right, now, imagine what it would be like if all Christians of this world, actual size, were to join together at the Lord's table, all taking Holy Communion at the same time. Impossible, you might think. Well, there is a way that it might just be possible. And that's why we are talking about World Communion Sunday on this episode of Chuck Knows Church. I've always loved spinning these things. Oh, we got a little crazy. Let's start again. Okay. World Communion Sunday is celebrated once a year by Christian denominations around the globe on the first Sunday of October. It promotes Christian and ecumenical unity. Now, World Communion Sunday began in 1933 in the Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. It was later adopted by Presbyterian churches throughout the states and then spread to other denominations all around the world. Now, in 1940, the Federal Council of Churches, now known as the National Council of Churches, endorsed the Ecumenical Sunday, promoting it worldwide. Now, in the United Methodist Church, it is one of six church-wide special Sundays. The offering taken during World Communion Sunday benefits leadership, graduate, and undergraduate scholarships for both national and international students, for both the Ethnic Scholarship Program and the Ethnic In-Service Training Program. United Methodists encourage qualified people, especially youth and young adults, to apply for scholarships, and the church gives generously to the special offering, which often enables first-generation students to attend college, maybe even med school. If you'd like to know more, be sure to ask your pastor. Tell them Chuck sent you. Yeah.
I want to thank the United Methodist Church. I believe your investment on education will not be in vain. I'm Dinkin Calvert. We're in Jalingo, Nigeria. I've been a United Methodist all through my life, and I graduated with a master's degree in environmental management. I grew up witnessing the degradation going within our environment. You know, you see erosion everywhere, you see pollution everywhere, and I saw the need to go and gain more knowledge to be able to tell people what it takes, you know, what they need to do to reduce the problems that are so predominant in our area. With Lisa, my mentor, we are in touch of environmental scholars. There are people that study in the health sector. There are people that are doing research even in the environment. And there are other people that are also concerned about poverty in other parts of the country. We want to develop a network of concerned activists who will develop a study on the environment for the church. By giving to United Methodist World Communion Sunday, it will empower me to be a solution provider to the people within my community and the church at large.
Good morning. Welcome you all to worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. Can we take a deep breath this morning? Slowly. I believe Sunday morning worship service is like a speed bump. One of the things I hear most often is, I'm so busy. Life is so busy. So this morning, God has given us this wonderful opportunity. We stop. Take pause. And focus on God. And experience how wonderful God is. Experience God's love and power. And also how much we are connected to one another as children of God. Let us fully enjoy it. Let us fully participate in this wonderful time to experience God's love and God's power together. Let us worship God all together.
Let us pray. Creator God, as we gather together today, I rejoice in the beauty of autumn in New England. The burst of color and the bounty of fresh local produce remind us of your abundant grace. In the midst of this abundance, help us to be mindful of our neighbors who are hungry, who are sick, and who are grieving. We gather food every month for our local neighbors who are in need, and on this Food Sunday, we are reminded to share our gifts of food. Today, we also join with our siblings in Christ around the world in World Communion Sunday. The table is set and is open to everyone. Help us to work for a world where everyone truly has a place at the table and where no one goes hungry or thirsty. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let us sing this hymn together, "Where Across the Crowded Ways of Life." I invite you to sing it out to please God all together.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you all are having a wonderful morning, and we have a verse this morning to go along with our coloring. It's from Psalm 19. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Now, what does that word meditation mean, I wonder? Well, I have a, if you can see this, it's a necklace. It has an opal, and if you let a necklace or a pendulum swing, and then eventually, I just stopped it there, but if I let it go eventually, it's going to return back to center, right? So anytime you knock a pendulum to the side, eventually it comes back to center. You know, back before the COVID days, we had these things called swings. Swings that were at playgrounds that we used to play in. I don't know if you remember those, but they are kind of like pendulums too, and they swing. And if you keep pumping that pendulum, you'll keep going. But what happens if you just let it go? You eventually come back to center. Well, meditation is a kind of prayer where we turn back to center. So what's the center? Well, things like love and peace. Really, for a Christian, it's anything to do with Jesus. So Jesus is the center of our prayer life. So perhaps sometimes you might be feeling a little off-center. You know, especially during this COVID time, especially during when school's kind of stressful, when you're tired of virtual school, when you're getting into arguments with your family. And so there's a lot of reasons why we might not be feeling like ourselves. And in meditation, what we can do is think about Jesus or think about the things that Jesus says and does. Like think of love, peace, and we can think about these things, and they bring us back to what's important so we don't lose sight of that when all things in our lives and all things are going crazy. That's meditation. So we're going to do a quick meditation exercise here if you're interested. So are you going to join me as we meditate here? I'm going to light a candle. This is a great way to focus on the center is by looking at something that focuses us, and a candle is a great idea because candles remind us of the Holy Spirit. They remind us of the love of God that warms us and lights our path. And so everybody, if you will follow after me here, we're going to breathe in, and when we breathe in, we're going to whisper the words, God loves me. And you do that, and as you're breathing in, it's going to kind of sound funny because you're breathing in while you're talking, so it'll sound kind of, God loves me. It sounds a little weird, but you whisper it as you're breathing in. It's kind of a funny way, but you're like inhaling the words almost. So it's like you're breathing in the love of God. Then when you breathe out, God, you say, God loves us all. You want to try that? And as we do that, we're going to do that a few times while we're looking at the candle. You ready? So let's do that together. Breathe in. God loves me. And breathe out. God loves us all. Breathe in. God loves me. Breathe out. God loves us all. Let's do this a few more times. Breathe in. God loves me. Breathe out. God loves us all. Breathe in. God loves me. Breathe out. God loves us all. One more time. Breathe in. God loves me. Breathe out. God loves us all. So that was just a minute or two of meditation. How was that? Was it a little strange? That's okay if it was a little bit strange for you. It's usually strange the first time we pray a different way. But maybe that's something that you can use when you're feeling a little off-center, or when you're feeling not so calm, or maybe anxious or scared. Bring yourself back to center by remembering a centering prayer that God loves you and that God loves all. And that when you breathe in and breathe out, breathing in and out the love of God. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, help us to keep our hearts and our minds focused on you. Help bring us back to center. Amen. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
The first reading today is from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 3. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law now arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat. Jesus replied, And why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commandments of God? The second reading is from Matthew 5, verses 38 and 39, 43 and 45. You have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. You have heard it said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. The final reading is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 18. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappears, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. This is the reading of the gospel. Thanks be to God.
Do I look holy enough for the worship? What do you think? I do believe, and I look holy enough from God's eyes, because I came here, and I'm here with all my heart and my love for God. WWJD, Why Would Jesus Do? You know, this is one of the most well-known expressions, you know, we Christians use. In order to do what would Jesus do, we need to know what Jesus did. So we've been talking about this. The first, what did Jesus do? Part one. We learned the first one through the story of the woman caught in the act of adultery. What do you remember about that story? When people ganged up to accuse others, Jesus refused to stand with them, with the accusers. By lowering himself. You remember Jesus' postures? Jesus lowered himself. He did not place himself in a judging position. Instead, he took a place of compassion, the bottom. What did Jesus do? Part two. We learned the second one in the story of Zacchaeus, in the story of the woman, Samaritan woman at the well, and Paul. Jesus met the broken where they were and received them and embraced them as they were. And that was where transformation began. So today, what did Jesus do? Part 3. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 3, some Pharisees and teachers of law, religious law, accused Jesus' disciples for ignoring their traditions for ceremonial hand washing before they ate. So what is the Jewish tradition of ceremonial hand washing? It is called Natile Yadayim in Hebrew. Jews are required to wash their hands before eating any meal that includes bread or matzah, which is like the unleavened cracker-like bread for Passover. After the washing, they recite the following blessing. Baruch Atah Adonai, Elohech, Elev Haolam, Asher Tizbanu, Humis Budat, Tizbanu Al Natil Yadayim. You understood all I said, right? Which is translated, Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with your commandments and commanded us concerning the washing of the hands. This tradition is not related to personal hygiene. Even if your hands are so clean, you are required, you are still required to perform this ritual. Otherwise, you are considered religiously unclean. When some Pharisees and teachers of religious law accused Jesus' disciples, saying, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat." Then Jesus replied, "And why do you, by your tradition, violate the direct commandments of God?" And in the verse 7, Jesus told them, "You hypocrites." Why did Jesus call them hypocrites? You can find the answer in the following verses, 7 through 9. Jesus said, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." I think we have a problem with the microphone. Excuse me, give me a second.
Can you hear me okay? You think it's working? Yeah, sorry about this. But I'm back. So Jesus, when the Pharisees and the teachers of religious laws accused Jesus' disciples that they didn't wash their hands before eating, Jesus replied by quoting the Bible passage, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." So Jesus called these Pharisees and the teachers of the laws, religious laws, the hypocrites. Based on this, it is fair to say that Pharisees and teachers of the religious laws taught the people their traditions, which they developed from the scripture, and draw the lines between the groups of the people who followed them and who did not. While they considered those who followed their traditions clean, they regarded those who did not unclean. And Jesus called them hypocrites. In verses 17 through 20, Jesus said, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what makes you unclean. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what makes you unclean. Eating with unwashed hands will never make you unclean." Pharisees and teachers of religious law, those religiously passionate people, manipulated God's word to draw the lines among people. And they judged and accused those whom they pushed out of the circles. Then was Jesus against God's commandments when he said, eating with unwashed hands will never make you unclean? No. Some of you may ask, wait a second, Pastor, what do you mean by no? In Matthew chapter 5, I find Jesus tells the people to do something different from God's law God had commanded earlier. For example, you have heard the law that says the punishment must match the injury. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say, do not resist an evil person. If someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. In order to understand this, we need to check what God originally meant by the law. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. What did God mean by this? Mean by it? Isn't this a message of revenge? I'm new in this area, so I might be wrong, but hypothetically, let's just say Acton and Littleton are like rivals. At the time, over there, so I go to, I'm living in Acton, so I go to Littleton. And one of the people came to my house, and then he hit me. So I bring my son Josh and his big friends with me, and then I go to Littleton. And I beat all the family of that personhood in me. And let's say his name is Michael. Then Michael got upset. So Michael called all the people, all his friends, and all their friends, and their friends from Littleton, and came to Acton. And started hitting all the people in Acton. Are you following me? Yeah? It's like a war now. That was a way they treated each other at the time, when they had something happened. So therefore, an eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth was a message of a fairness, not a revenge. Are you following me? However, the people had used it to advocate for their revenging. Over the years, this is the law God gave us, so it is okay that I revenge by using this passage. Even today, we see some people use this word of God when they revenge on others. They use God's word to draw the lines and even attack others. In this context, Jesus commanded, if someone slaps you on the right cheek, offer the other cheek also. He means, do not be a slave of legalism. Freely enjoy acting as a children of God, our loving parents. Jesus did not abolish the law of God given through Moses. He accomplished its purpose. When the people misused and even manipulated God's law and became a slave of legalism, Jesus taught them and reminded them of the purpose of God's word. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 17 through 18, Jesus says, do not misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved, which is God's love. The purpose is God's love. Are you using the word of God to educate for your sincere legalism? Or are you accomplishing the purpose of God's word as Jesus did, which is love? Are you refusing to live out God's love in the name of God, like those Pharisees and the teachers of religious laws? Or are you acting as a child of God by loving with all that you are as Jesus did? Are you drawing the line and pushing out others of the circles by using the word of God? Or are you being a table of love and embracing other children of God as Jesus did? I'm going to talk about this table part in a minute during the Holy Communion. Jesus came to erase all the lines people were drawing. They drew the lines, I'm Jews and you're Gentiles. I'm clean, you're unclean. People draw the lines by the social social classes, skin colors, genders, sexual orientations, you name it. But Jesus came to erase all those lines. For God so loved what? Whom? The world. God so loved the world that God gave God's one and only Son. The Bible doesn't say, so God so loved only James and Jenny. The Bible doesn't say God so loved only Anglo-white or well-educated, those with money. No, the Bible says God so loved the world, that God gave God's one and only Son. But we people have been drawing the lines here and there for all different reasons. And through this story, Jesus tells us, no, stop manipulating God's word to advocate for the reason that you have been drawing the lines. Now I'm erasing those lines and join me. Today, all the United Methodists all over the world celebrate the World Communion Sunday. God reminds us that Christianity is not just about God bless America. It is about God's love for all. For all. The privilege to share God's blessings with other God's children who are in need. Bear one another's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. The offerings of the World Communion Sunday is used to help youth and young adults around the world who will be the first generation of their families to attend college. Or those people of color who have not historically had access to resources that make a higher education possible. That being said, I believe it is very important, especially to us, at St. Matthew's UMC. During the last 3 months, I've learned many of us seem to be proud of being well-educated. Thank God who has given us those wonderful educational opportunities. Yes, then what are we using? How are we using that privilege? Are we using all the blessings from educational privileges to draw the lines? I'm well educated and you are not. I'm up here and you are there. Or are we sharing them with those who are in need for those education opportunities? Let us fully enjoy this connection to all the people around the world whom God cares about. Yes, today is the World Communion Sunday. God reminds us we are the world. And God's love is for all people around the world. How are you going to help yourself be part of this connection to other children of God around the world today? What are you going to do to achieve the purpose of God's love, which is love? Love for all. God bless you all. Amen. Let us praise the Lord with the hope and faith that God makes our world be filled with love and peace that everybody can enjoy. Let us sing it out. Let there be peace on earth. Let us sing it together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Would you show us the cartoon now? It's on it? Great. As you see, you know, all the people, they are drawing lines, right? And what is Jesus doing? Jesus is erasing the lines. Please remember this cartoon. It's art of the pastor, whose nickname is, art nickname is Naked Pastor. Please remember this this picture. I'd like to invite you now think about where I am in this cartoon. Am I one of those people who are drawing the lines? Or am I with Jesus erasing the lines? When I had this conversation with the Reverend Wee Chang, who is a DS in the Boston area, what he said really touched my heart a couple of years ago. We Christians, especially United Methodists, we have been saying the phrase, "Let us draw the circle of love bigger and larger." And I thought that was so fascinating. That was great. So let's draw the circle bigger and larger. But he pointed out, because of the nature of the circle, no matter how big the circle you draw, it always creates the line, insiders and outsiders. Which I had never thought. As soon as he said that out, and wow, you're right. I was with him on that. Are you with me on that? No matter how big we draw the circle, it's a circle. And there are always insiders and outsiders. The Reverend Wee Chang, he said, "Can we make the table bigger?" And I said a big amen. As we celebrate the Lord's table, the table of mercy and love, the bigger table we make, the more people can sit around. There is no insiders or outsiders. All the people can sit around the table. Always, the Bible passage, the very first, the Holy Communion, Jesus was offering to his disciples. It really touched my heart. Jesus knew that who was going to betray him. But eventually, all his disciples betrayed him. They skittered around after he crucified. He was crucified on the cross. But Jesus still offered that grace of the Lord's table to all of them. Hey, you Peter, you'll deny me even 3 times in several days. You're out. You do this, you'll betray me. You get out of here. Jesus didn't say that. You still stay with me. You still around this table. Let us enjoy. That's what we are doing around this table. There is no more insiders, outsiders. We are all one in Jesus Christ. By His grace, we are one. That's what the cartoon tells us about. No more insiders and outsiders. No more they and us. No more you and I. We are one. We are the church. We are the world. As we partake the Holy Communion this morning, let us fully enjoy the beauty of connection to one another. I believe this is the best time to remember that and experience it and admit that that is our reality. Because my breath can impact you literally and vice versa. We are that intimately connected to one another. That's how God created us. Please join me in celebration of God's love for all the people, regardless. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us together here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them before us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours. Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Now I'd like to invite you share the bread and cup with one another at home. If you are alone, physically alone, then please remember we are connected and nothing can separate us from one another. So celebrate the Holy Communion, remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. And now the people in this room, please come forward. As far as you feel comfortable and safe enough, please come forward and let us share the bread and cup together. It's time for offering. It's time to count God's blessings God has already given to us together. So I'd like to invite you to take time. You know, you may share what you are grateful to God for with one another. Or if you are on the chat, on live stream, please put, you know, write down, you know, what you are thankful to God for this morning. I'd like to encourage you to make a thank you note. You know, it's like a journal. At the end of the day, you have this maybe notepad and write down, you know, what you are thankful for. You know, I'm grateful to God for this and that. As we count all the blessings God has given to us, we can be a cheerful giver. Please join me in response to God's grace together. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. Yes, God cares about our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with a grateful heart. Amen. 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 Again, please don't just send the money to the church. You are not sending donations to church. You are offering to God. You are sharing God's blessings with others, especially those who God wants to reach out with care and love. So please pray for all the ministries God is doing in us and through us, and pray for all those who are part of their ministries, and pray for all those people who God is reaching out. And please pray for me, your pastor, please, too. And then you may send your offering to the church, 435 Central Street in Acton, Massachusetts. Or you can visit our church website, and you can find several different ways you can be part of these wonderful ministries with your financial resource. This time, we want to support with each, support one another with our prayers. So let us share our prayer request together. From Susan LaSante, Lord, I ask for you to be with all in the White House and around the world who have COVID-19. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Susan Zuckerman, please pray for my husband John, who has what we think is the flu. We are awaiting the result of his COVID test, but expect a negative result. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Irene Taylor, prayer of gratitude. Katie has completed her 14-day quarantine and is still negative for her COVID-19. Jack, our dog, is improving. Thank you, God, for your healing and loving embrace. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Leslie Brew, prayers of gratitude for Josh and his beautiful messages for young and old, and in all in between. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Susan Evans, prayers for my friend Alex, who came down with a painful outbreak of shingles, and my aunt Barbara, who is sick with a reaction from a shingles shot. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Josh, my prayer is that on this World Communion Sunday, we remember our family in Christ throughout the world, that we work to promote freedom and dignity for all people while remaining compassionate for all. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Susan Evans, prayerful, beautiful mother nature in her colorful expression in the fall foliage. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Betsy Comstock, I pray for all our neighbors who experience food insecurity and thank you on behalf of them for your generous food donations. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
From Dorothy Wirtz, thank you for all my beautiful church family. Thank you for sending us Jinu and his ministry that touches us every week. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
And one more prayer request from Claria Salis. We are all thankful to see and hear Gordon this morning and to see and hear all of you leading today's service. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Amen. Amen. Let us take a moment of silence
to pray
for one another, to pray for this prayer request, and to pray for whoever comes into your mind this morning. Let us pray. We have one more prayer here from Jim K. Gratitude for our musicians this morning and for all those that make our service possible. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
You know, you received the email, you know, which is a prayer request list, you know, this week. Please remember to print it out and you may put it on the refrigerator or on your bedside, or in your wallet, and carry with you, and pray for all these prayer requests. You know, we want to be a people, not only just to sharing our prayer requests, but also actually praying for one another. So please, remember to print them out, and use them, and keep one another in our prayers. Amen? Amen. Great, thank you. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. As we pray this prayer, it's not just our weekly routine, but we want to remember the meaning of this prayer that Jesus taught us. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us exchange the sign of peace of Christ, with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. Peace of Christ be with you all. Great. Thank you. Yes, I have several announcements to share with you. Yes, you know, as we heard our siblings pray for us and give thanks to God for us, you know, I celebrate, we have these wonderful worship leaders this morning again. So thank you so much for your ministry here. And I thank you very much for joining us in worshiping God together. You know, if it's your first time to worship, you know, with us this morning at St. Matthew's, please find my email address, pastor@saint. Do I call it dash or hyphen? Either way. Okay, so pastor@saint-matthews.org. pastor@saint-matthews.org. And you can see it on our website. So please send me email. You know, I'd love to get connected to you. You know, we can talk. You know, we can pray together. So please, let us get together. We are going to have an immigration breakfast event, virtual one, this year because of pandemic. You know, with St. Matthew's, we have been very dedicated to this ministry, immigration breakfast, every year. But this year, because of COVID-19, we cannot get together in person. But instead, you know, we are going to have this virtual one Saturday, October 24th, from 8:30 till 10 o'clock in the morning. Saturday, October 24th, 8:30 through 10. You know, you can find that information on our church website as well. And I appreciate the transitional team, especially Betsy, who coordinated this sit and chat, the small group gatherings with the pastor. All of them have been very meaningful. And I feel the big difference, you know, 3 months ago and now. You know, when I was sharing this good news each week, you know, at this camera, I couldn't think of your faces at all. Even though I had made the effort to make myself familiar with all your faces through these directories. But now, after all these meetings, now I feel that I'm sharing this good news with you all. So thank you very much for this opportunity. Sit and chat. And please visit our church website. And I really appreciate our website coordinator, Wayne. You know, it's very updated. And you can find all the information about small groups, like a Bible study and Sunday schools for children and young adults. So please check our church website. And all the events we are doing and ministries we are doing, they're updated on the church website. So please check our church website on a regular basis. And after the service, we have a virtual coffee hour. Well, for the last three months, I learned that most of the time I see the same faces all the time. So I understand we have more than 100 people, you know, to the service together. You know, in average, I think around 150 people, you know, worship together. But I see always, you know, almost always, you know, same faces on a virtual coffee hour. Please come and join us. You know, let us share our relationship with one another. You know, let us celebrate it together. And I would love to meet you there. So please check the link on the website, and also I believe on our YouTube channel, just where you are now, it has the link in our virtual coffee hour. The password is coffee hour. Isn't it simple enough? Yeah. It's one word, coffee hour. So please come and join us. And now, our lay leader, Susan LaSante, has an announcement to share with you about our stewardship campaign this fall.
Good morning. Next Sunday, we're going to start our fall stewardship program. And as you all know, stewardship isn't about money, but it's about how we live our life. It's about how we take care of our world, how we take care of ourselves, our relationships, how we erase the lines between us. Stewardship's about prayer, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And this year, our theme for stewardship is going to be, again, on our vision of being received, transformed, and sent. So I sent out an email. I hope you all got it. But if you missed it, that's okay, because now you have another opportunity. The most important part of our fall stewardship program is prayer. And I sent an email inviting everybody to be part of the prayer team for our fall program and asking people to pray every day for your faith community, for the people in our faith community, starting October 11th and going through November 25th, which is when we have our charge conference. Now, I don't know about you, but, you know, I've had a couple of hard weeks. And what made it possible for me to walk through those was knowing people were praying for me. It's a gift. When I go to Kenya, I hold on so tight to the idea and the knowledge that you're praying for me. As I round the rotary on a motorbike or I walk in places where I don't feel safe, your prayers make a difference. They are a gift. And so I'm asking you all right now, would you be willing to be part of the prayer team for our fall stewardship? You know, we have a pandemic. There's a lot of chaos in the world. We haven't been able to meet in person. And I have to believe we all could benefit from each other's prayers as a faith community. So if you're willing to be part of this prayer team, you can right now, I feel like maybe I'm on TV, right now in the chat, you could put your name and say, I will be on the prayer team. We'll have support to help you along the way. And if you're not sure how to pray, Janu is more than willing to help you. And it doesn't have to be perfect. So you can email me, let me know. You can put it in the chat. You can send me a letter and tell me. Any way you want to let us know. And I thank you for your prayers and your support for our stewardship program this fall.
Thank you, Susan. Yes, please say your name there. You know, I'm so glad our St. Matthew's Community of Faith, we begin with the prayers for this stewardship program. I love it. And the other day, I met, you know, one of our siblings. You know, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. You know, I would like to be a part of this wonderful opportunity in the stewardship program with prayers, but I don't know how. Then we had a conversation around that, and I believe God did a great job through me. So at the end of the conversation, she was very happy, and yes, I'm so pleased to be part of this. I'll be part of this program, and I'm so happy to be. So if you are in the same place as hers, then please let me know, and then we'll do it together. And as we get all the list of the volunteers, you know, prayer warriors to get together, then we'll have we may have this Zoom session, and we get together, and I'm willing to, you know, share my best knowledge, you know, based on the Bible, you know, what prayer means and how to do it. So please be part of that wonderful ministry. I'm in these T-shirts. This is what we taught our children this past summer during the VBS. We learned about compassion. That's what we taught our children. God is God of compassion. And God received us with God's compassion. And God transformed us with God's compassion. And God calls us, God wants to send us to live out the compassion, to love one another, regardless. So my beloved siblings in Christ, now go and fully enjoy sharing compassion God has granted you. That compassion with one another, especially with the people who really need it at this moment. Go with assurance, God is coming with you. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen. Amen. Let us bless each other through this song.